Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Man, I'm glad you guys are here. You guys glad you're here? I want to talk to you tonight about hearing from God. And it's going to be, listen, I don't want you to have to, there's sometimes I think we come to church and we've got to find this high level of intellect and we got to put on our thinking caps and those kind of things. And that's, I'm going to ask you not to do that tonight. I'm not asking you not to think. I am asking you not to try to get so deep into this. You know, it's interesting because we don't traverse this world the way the world does. We're kingdom people. Write that down. We're kingdom people. Okay, we've got to understand that as kingdom people, we don't think and we don't speak and we don't operate and we don't have the habits that the world has. Let me tell you, most of your friends are probably wondering why you're at church on Wednesday night. I mean, it's like, wait, you guys, and even my friends that are preachers, they're like, you still do Wednesday nights? It's like, yeah. They said, why do you do Wednesday nights? I said, well, because people come. I mean, if nobody came, then I don't know. We'd probably make a decision, but it seems to be a time for people to go to church. And honestly, I'm of the mindset that we probably ought to have a church every night. You know, 38% of America works on the weekends. That means we start off trying to reach 62% of the people. You know, and of those 62%, there's probably a lot of them that have experienced church in a negative way. So they're out on church, and it's like this, so the percentages keep dwindling. And so I just think the more we have church, the better odds that we have of winning the world to Jesus. Yeah, I mean, it's that simple. And when we understand that God speaks, His Word speaks, that there's a voice to God. You know, there's three words that I believe the Lord gave me for 2020. And it was simply revival, deliverance, and abundance. And you know, God was ministering to me this morning as I was reading the Word. But as I was reading the Word, I heard God's voice. And in regard, I wasn't even reading about revival, deliverance, and abundance specifically, but God spoke to me and said that those three words are simply His heart. And so when we read God's Word and we hear God's promise and we base it upon it being God's heart, it changes our perspective. You know, with everything going on in the world today, it's interesting. I talked to a school superintendent today and told him, man, I'm going to start praying for you. He's like, man, thanks. And I said, because you got big decisions coming up. He goes, you would not believe. He showed me his phone. He had 2,700 text messages. And I thought about it. And I thought, you know, he's got to hear all these voices and all these different viewpoints. And the most important one is you hear God. And I think that's so difficult because I think that most people, and when I say people, I'm not even talking about worldly people. I'm talking about Christian folk and church people, that it's difficult to hear God's voice. I'm not sure if that's God. And you know, when I think about it, that everything in our lives, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and even physically, are designed for us to hear God's voice. Everything. And so we look at this, that how have we been deceived to the point where we think it's difficult to hear God's voice? You know, often it's like when somebody tells your kid, a coach or a teacher or a neighbor or something, tells your kid something. And your kid comes home and says, Dad, man, Mr. Jones said this to me, or this coach said this to me, and it's so amazing. I'm going to start doing it in my life. And then your kid walks away and you think, man, I've told you that repeatedly every day your entire life, but you hear it from somebody else and it's like, oh my gosh, it revolutionizes you. But I'm telling you, that's kind of how this is with God, that God is speaking to us every time we open His Word. God's speaking to us. Every time we're in prayer, let me tell you, God's speaking to us. But I think all too often, it's just like our natural dads that we don't, it becomes so familiar and becomes so repetitive that we're not even considering that that's God. And I'm telling you, God, the way God speaks to us is it's very familiar and it's repetitive. And that's how it works. And see, and what the Bible describes it as a still small voice. Man, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, not in the thunder, but what? A still small voice. The Bible even talks about the Spirit of God, that God's voice being, listen, an inner witness. You know, when we're thinking God's this outside, like, we're thinking it's like when God speaks to us, it's going to be like an alarmist. It's like an intruder would be. And, you know, for me, I remember there was one time I was in my backyard and I was praying. This is years and years ago. And we had just, it seemed like, had a breakthrough in the church. And I was just thanking God. I was just rejoicing. I was in my backyard and I was just thinking, God, thank you so much for this breakthrough. And I'm telling you, as I was praying, I heard God's voice that said, focus on your family. And I knew that I was supposed to spiritually go deep regarding my family. See, let me tell you what God's voice is going to do. The design of God's voice is to forewarn us and forearm us. That means ahead of time. Remember that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit of God, the breath of heaven, is going to remind you of everything I said. Now listen, and show you things you didn't know. See, God's voice is familiar to born-again believers. The whole idea of us being born again is we're not born of this world anymore. We're born of God. So now we don't listen to the world anymore. We hear from God. And, you know, I hear people in that there's campaigns now to go off of social media for 30 days and like it's this worldly fast about it. I'm just thinking, how have we allowed the media and social media to become such a strong voice in our lives? Do you understand we're raising a generation of people in this country that healthcare's a right and that higher education's a right and that everything. The Bible says a man who doesn't work doesn't eat. The Bible, listen, and listen, we're giving people cell phones. See, understand that we're getting things, and I'm not against helping people and giving people. But let me tell you, in my opinion, that's not the government's job. But see, we're placating people, and because we want to get votes and we look at people as voting blocks, and I don't want to play that game personally. I want to hear God's voice in my life. Whatever's happening out here cannot overthrow the government of my life that Jesus stands at the top of. Does that make sense to you? See, and we've got to look at it. I'm not against any party. I'm not against any people. I'm not against the government. I'm just telling you, we've got to learn to stay in the government, stay in your lane. See, that's how this has to work. And God's voice is generally, we hear it as an idea. How many of you guys have ever had an idea that was just, oh my gosh, that would be amazing? I mean, Chano just told the story of somebody out in the lobby or something that started a business and it's just overwhelming. Man, there's so many of you guys in here that, man, you've got building, you got businesses, you got things going on, and it's like, oh my gosh, most of them, it's like we haven't skipped a beat. How many of you guys that through this whole pandemic, raise your hand if you just haven't skipped a beat. Can I see your hands? Man, look, keep your hands up and wave. That's it. People across the room. Most of the people. And see, we have to look at it. But listen, if we listen to the media and and social media, we listen to, it's like, oh my gosh, how are we going to get through this? You know what? I say as children, men and women of God, pretty doggone good is how we get through it. But see, it's what we focus on. Let's get in the Word. You guys want to? 1 Corinthians, the second chapter in the 9th verse. 1 Corinthians 2:9. I'm going to read from the New King James. I want to welcome everybody watching online. We're glad that we're glad you're joining. You'll say, what kind of shirt are you wearing? I don't know. I put it on and Sandy said, oh my gosh, you can't wear that shirt, so I had to. So if you don't like it, thank Sandy, okay? But as it's written, don't you love this verse? Eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the great things that God has for those who walk uprightly. The things that God has prepared for those who love him, for those who put him first. Eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard. You know, you guys, how many of you guys gave tonight? That means you put seed in the ground, okay? You put seed in the ground. I want to say it's 26, but I'm not sure which chapter. I was reading it the other day, but in Genesis, Israel was in famine, and people were in famine. The people were in famine, and Isaac, his reaction was to sow seed. And then a few chapters later, it talked about the ridiculous abundance that came into Isaac's life just because he sowed seed. And we get up here, Chano got up and he said, man, you need seed in the ground. This is good ground. Absolutely, it's good ground. But listen, understand this. You've got to take the action to sow that seed. And then not just that, you've got to follow your life up with that seed. See, the seed that we sow in the kingdom, our life is what gives it nutrition. Our life is what hydrates it. Our life is what keeps that ground turned. See, because it doesn't go into the church account. When you give, monetarily it goes to the church account. But really, it goes into your account in heaven. And let me tell you, you go through times where the world gets lean and things are difficult and your account is busting in heaven. Let me tell you something. You're going to be not skipping a beat and doing well like you just waved your hand. You're on a good track, you guys that raised your hands and waved. Just stay on that track. But as God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Listen, how that starts is those things are the things that we haven't seen or we haven't heard of and we can't imagine. See, those are those things. See, God starts speaking to our lives. It's like an idea. Man, I remember I had an idea. I had an idea in June of 1979. I had an idea about church because I thought these guys are making it real difficult for people like me to be a part of this. You guys have got leisure suits and neckties and hairsprayed hair, and I don't get it. Man, you're reading from texts that use these and thous and whilst. It doesn't make sense. Nobody talks that way. Why are you using that book? It didn't make any sense to me. Why do we make people jump through so many hoops to come into this fraternity or this club? It didn't make any sense. Let me tell you something. The idea that was decades later, Guts Church started. And guess how Guts Church started? Come as you are. And people would say, well, but I don't fit into church. Good, because we don't do church on Sunday mornings. It's always Sunday night. If you go, you have church on Sunday night? And let me tell you what was awesome about it. I didn't know this, but the church world turned from Sunday nights. Everybody's dropping Sunday nights. And you know what's interesting? Because to me, man, I'd take Taylor out to the park and we'd play catch and we'd get a box of donuts and the kids would swing and man, we'd have a great time. And I was sitting there thinking, all these saps that are sitting in church on Sunday morning doesn't make any sense to me. Man, why aren't you out here with your kids? You know, and then it's interesting, years later, when we moved into this building, we had two Sunday night services and we needed to add a service. And I said, we brought in over a dozen couples, I think 20 couples, and they had a meeting, and I left the meeting. I said, you guys just decide. When you come up with what you agree with where we had a service, we'll do a service then. And you know what they said? Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, so we did, and here we are. But see, understand that the Sunday night deal, I believe, came to an end in this church, and Sunday morning picked up, and it was great. But the whole idea starting this church started decades before the church actually did, as an idea. What if God has spoken to your life, and he's spoken to you about an idea that you had? And let me tell you, what you've got to do, how these ideas work, is these ideas are submitted to authority. That's how they work. If I would have just had an idea of doing church and had no submission, if I just would have went out and started a church, which is what I think happens today with most places, I'm just going to go start a church. You know what? It never would have worked. You know how this church started? Pastor Bob Yandian from Grace Fellowship, in front of a crowd of people, said, I commission you to start a church to reach people that aren't being reached. And he said, I send you to this work. And then he gave us a $5,000 check. But let me tell you, I didn't have the revelation of being sent at that time that I do now. I'm just thinking, oh, cool. But I remember that word stuck in my memory, and it stuck in my heart, that he sent me. He commissioned Sandy and me to start this church. So you know what? It came from the voice of authority. And we were submitted to that authority, and that's how it worked. Man, the first 3 years of this church, we'd have between 100 and 300 visitors every Sunday night. I remember Baptist deacons, a number of them, would find a dime bag in their kid's drawer and bring their teenagers to church because they didn't know what to do with them. And you know what? It just and was the time of our lives. We didn't have much structure. There was nothing that was systemic. There weren't any protocols. It was just, you know what? We're going to treat people the way we want to be treated. We're going to treat people the way we want people to treat us. We're going to honor everybody. And then as it grew, you know what? The systems grew, and the protocols grew, and the procedures grew, and it works that way. But do you understand? It started as an idea. We didn't have there wasn't a template for us to start the church. I mean, I remember this guy came up to me. We'd been a church for 2 years, had hundreds of people on Sunday night. This businessman from in town that I knew a little bit, I was acquainted with him, and he came up to me and said, man, finally, I've been wanting to be here for a couple months. I'm like, man, I'm glad you're here. He goes, no, I've been so looking forward to this, man. It's been amazing. And man, why don't you put up a sign? I said, that's a great idea. We put a sign up. See, that's how this started. It started as an idea. It started very humbly. It started, listen, very small. And you know what the Bible says? Man, God gives you an idea, and that idea could change the world. Don't despise small beginnings, is what the Bible says. See, we hear God's voice, another voice we won't follow. The Holy Spirit is actually, see, the Holy Spirit will search a man's heart. That's what we just read. The Holy Spirit's the original search engine and the greatest search engine the world's ever seen. See, that's what this is. The Holy Spirit is the kingdom search engine. That's who he is. And see, Jesus in John, the 16th chapter, he said, I've got so much to tell you, but you're not going to be able to bear it. Man, I've got so much. That's how God is right now in your life. He's got so much to tell you, but are you giving him enough room? Are you giving him enough weight? Are you giving him enough focus? Are you giving him enough of your attention for you to be able to bear what God has to share with your life? You know, God loves people so much that he's just looking for someone that's going to reach him. He's looking for someone that's going to boldly take a step of faith, submit to authority, take a step of faith, and you know what? Change people's lives. Man, I remember we went and visited Loaves and Fishes years ago, probably 10 years ago. We were in our truck and we watched it and we thought, this is pretty amazing. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, we ought to help some people to do something like this over in our part of town. Driving home, Taylor's in the passenger side of the truck. He said, Dad, we should start getting food to poor people. We should help people like that. I said, okay, go ahead. We started Friday Groceries. And look what it is today. See, you understand that the idea of this, do you think the nightmare just started as what it is? No. It's taken hundreds of thousands of man hours and millions of dollars. But you know what? When it started with us, we as a church helping a little church in the panhandle of Texas, in Perryton, Texas, do a hell house. And driving home, I had a yellow pad and a big pen, and I'm driving back with Scott Starnes, and we're just dreaming. What if we actually put something behind something like this? They did it in Perryton, Texas for $800. And that's all I knew. I thought, well, what if we spent 10 grand? What could we do? What if we spent 20? The first nightmare cost $54,000. And let me tell you, we squeezed every nickel we could to get that to bring that money in. And you know what it did? It started winning people the Lord. It wasn't very many. And then it got to the point, you know, where I got bold and I said, you know what? I'm believing God for a year where 10,000 people get saved. Well, it was just brash. It was just boldness. It was just, and you know what? I think a lot of people thought I was in the flesh when I said that. But you know what? God backed my play. It wasn't 2 years later, we had over 10,000 people got saved. When people told me it was mathematically impossible for that to happen. But you know what? I believe God loves that. I believe God loves us to be daring. I believe God loves us to take personal risks in this. Do you understand that that you tithing feels to your flesh like a risk? God loves that. That's why most people can't tithe. It's too big a risk. Tithe isn't 10%. It isn't you giving 10% at the end of the month that you got left over. Your tithe is at the very beginning. Matter of fact, tithe, I don't even look at it as 10%, which literally it is. I look at it as my first. Man, I'm giving you my first, God. And see, that's how we have to be about this, because faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. See why? Because the word, the printed word is the logos of God. The printed word is informational, and information's amazing. I love information. You guys love information? Man, I love a good conspiracy theory. Anybody in here love a good conspiracy theory? Man, I love a good conspiracy theory. I'm telling you right now. But let me just tell you, the logos of God, the printed word of God, that's information. The spoken word of God, that's power. And people, how many guys have ever heard anybody say, man, I read the word, I just don't get it? I don't understand. Anybody ever heard that from anybody? Let me see your hand. You heard that from anybody? How many guys have said it in your life where you said, man, I read the word, I did. I got this book that's this thick and the words are this big and the pages are so thin. Man, Bible pages aren't regular book pages. They're so thin. I'm thinking, dear God, how in the world am I going to get this? I've read one book. When I was a kid, I read the Richie Ashburn story. He was an infielder for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I become a Christian. What do you got to do? You got to read. Thee and thou and whilst. What the heck's a whilst? No, but you look at it, and you know what? You read it, and it's like, I don't get it. I don't get it. And I'm, you know what I'm thinking? How do you find that? How do you find 1 Corinthians 2:9? How do you find that? I want to know these promises. How do you find it? And then you know what? I started speaking it. I started underlining it in my Bible. I started highlighting it. I started circling it. And you know what? It got in me. And you know, the Bible says that the Spirit of God will search the deeper things of God. Have you heard that? We just read it, so hopefully you'll say yes. But you know, we'll search the deeper things of God. You know, the deeper things of God, think about it not being out there. Think about being in here. God searches the deeper things that you've allowed to root deep in your heart. See, that's where you begin to hear God's voice. I believe we don't hear, I don't know so much that we hear God's voice through the seed aspect of it. I believe we hear God's voice through the root aspect of it. That when it gets rooted in me, I start hearing that. In verse 11 in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, "For what man knows the things of man except for the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God." So people will say, man, Bob says no one knows the things of God. No, no, no. Yeah, you're right. Unless the spirit of God lives on the inside of you. See, so much of religion, it comes up just a little bit short before you get to that place where you get to the reward. Don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. That believe that God is, and he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Think about this. See, the reward of hearing God's voice is us diligently seeking him. Diligently. Man, I gave it a shot. No, we don't give it a shot. I'm not coming up for air till I hear your voice, God. God, I need to hear your voice right here and right now. And God, I need it in a big way. God, here's where it hurts. God, you've got to help me. God, you're my only help. And I'm telling you, this is how you get in the Word. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know that the things which have been freely given to us by God. See, understand, it's already given to us. Things that have been freely given to us, that we figure that out, we find that out. These things we also speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Man, there's so many times where I'll say something, and I'll tell you what, I'll have a conviction that feels like guilt. Man, I shouldn't have said that. I said it the wrong way. It wasn't timing. Who am I to think that I need to offer my opinion about that? Nobody asked me for that opinion, but doggone it, I had an opinion. But the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit, for their foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. See, understand our life. We don't hear from God with our natural senses. We don't. We hear from God in our spirit man, our inner man that has an inner witness that's the voice of God. See, because God's, here's how I look at it. Okay, just a little personal advice. The presence of God is synonymous with the voice of God. That's how I look at it. So if I come in and it's like, oh my gosh, man, the presence of God in here, I've got a sense, okay, why? God wants to speak. God, see, that should be, see, it isn't just for this 48,000 square foot room, it's for your car, a truck, your home, it's for your job site that you hear from God. See, the signal's operating. See, I'm old enough to have there were AM/FM radios in our vehicles, and that's how I listened to ball games. And our beloved St. Louis Cardinals, that's how I listened to them. Camel X, 1210, is that right, Bill? Is it 1210? Where is it on your dial, Bill? 1120 in St. Louis? Shoot, where have I been? Man, I try to get it. And you know what? You gotta get that knob on the right, that tuner knob, and you gotta turn it just a little bit, and then you tune that thing in. Well, you know what? The receiver's what's gotta pick it up. It's us. We gotta get tuned in, man. We gotta get the heart of God in his word. That here I am. I got three words for you. Here they are: revival, deliverance, abundance. Everybody say I'm revival, deliverance, abundance. Okay, let's all cheer. Okay, everybody get tattoos on your no, you know what? And I get to the point where this week it's God just saying, look, that those words are powerful because that's my heart. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good one. Hey God, I'll factor that into how I communicate this. How about that? That'd be really good. See, the signal's operating. The receiver just has to get tuned in, and a lot of times it's not. You know why? Because we're tuned into Instagram and Facebook and Fox News and CNN, and we're tuned into those other things. And you know what? We've got to go back to that dial and find out where God's voice is. You can't be tuned into the world and tuned into God at the same. They're not saying the same dadgum things. They're not. They never will. Because God says, look, my ways aren't your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. Oh my gosh. The natural senses don't pick up the voice of God. God's voice is that of a father. It's familiar, it's thorough. It's regular. But guess what? He's spiritually discerned. Why did Jesus come to earth? So that he could get to the cross. Why did he go to the cross? So that he could die for our sin and be our substitute. Why did he rise from the dead? So that we could be born again. Why did he walk on this earth for another 40 days? Because he had to prove that to everybody. Because he had to gather a crowd at the Mount of Ascension to ascend into heaven. And this is where the whole thing gets triggered now, why Jesus came to the earth. For the Mount of Ascension. So then he said to go to the upper room. And 3 days later, what happened? The Holy Spirit lit on him as cloven tongues of fire. As what? Cloven tongues of fire. Remember, it came on Jesus as a dove. It came onto us as cloven tongues of fire. Tongues of fire. What does your tongue do? Your tongue speaks. So what did we do? What happens now is we're born again. We get spirit-filled to hear God's voice. That's the why of all of this. So that we don't walk on this earth as mere people. We don't walk on this earth as bastard children anymore. We walk on this earth, man, the spirit of adoption comes on us where we cry out, Abba, Father. God, I'm going to hear your voice and another voice I won't follow. My sheep hear my voice is what Jesus said. See, we've got to understand that. In verse 15, it says, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Man, who knows the mind of the Lord that we should instruct him? Let me just tell you something. We know everything God's about. You know why? Because he's about what he's promised in his word. He takes counsel in his word. If you're wondering what God's going to do, you can find out in his word. And then you know what? You're reading and you're like, wait a second, this is a good one. God, I want this one. God, I'm going to profess this over my life right here and right now. God, I thank you right now that everything I put my hand to prospers in Jesus' name. You know what? I'm going to work the next day. I get in my truck. God, I thank you that everything I put my hand to prospers. God, I thank you right now. I put my hands on my children. God, I thank you that my children prosper and are in health. And God, we're going to put them in a situation where they prosper and are in health as their soul prospers. Hey, Dad, can I go do this? No, it's church night. Yeah, but Dad, everybody else is doing it. No, you're going to church. Why? I want your soul to prosper, son. I've got to put you in that kind of position. Man, the world's going this direction. Why can't we let our kids go this direction? That's obvious today. Well, they're not letting my kid pray at school anymore. You know what? I don't like that decision, but it doesn't matter to me. I'm expecting them to teach my kids how to do long division. I'll teach them how to pray. I'll take that responsibility. Yeah, but if we let them pray, they got to let those Hindus pray too and the Muslims pray too and all those guys. You know what? I say we let them. I dare them. No, we have Glenn Morgan get up and pray. Doesn't matter who prays after he prays. That's where the life is. That's where the power is. Why? He's going to pray God's word. See, that's how we pray. We confess God's word. We declare God's word. And you know what happens? That word starts to speak to us. And it doesn't speak here. It doesn't hit us here. It hits us here. Man, there'll be people that'll come in. They'll apply for the internship. There's people that I'll meet. Sandy and I met a young woman at the mall at an info desk. I had to buy a gift card. It's been 15 years ago. And I remember and it was like a $500 gift card. I thought that was a big deal. And And the person at the counter was just an idiot. And I'm like, no, I'm trying to give you my money for a card. And I was frustrated. And I saw Sandy talking to this other girl that was behind the counter on the other side. And she came over and helped us, and boom, it was easy. And I said, oh my gosh, that was a breath of fresh air working with her. The other one, not so much. And Sandy said, yeah, I know, we're going to hire her. I said, what? She said, yeah, we're going to hire her. I know we are. We hired her. She became Sandy's assistant. She was amazing. She's married in Washington now. But yeah, you have to understand, how did Sandy know that God spoke to her? She didn't hear a voice. Nothing came over the PA. I don't want God to speak to me over the PA. I don't want God to speak to me in the fogged mirror. I don't want him writing it on the mirror. I don't want that relationship with God. That's weird. I want God to speak to me right here. And I want God to speak to me when I've got to get so quiet and shut everything else off and not let anything dictate what I'm going to do or what I'm going to say or how I'm going to be. And I want to hear from God. God, I want to hear your voice. God spoke to us about Chano and Tara, about them being assistant pastors. And you know what? 2 years later, we made him an assistant pastor. God spoke to us about the Pepins being elders. 2.5 years later, they became elders. See, it's not something for me. I don't need to hear it right now so I could, oh my gosh, God, what are we going to do? There's nothing I can do. No, you know what? I'm going to do what I know to do when God, but then you know what? I'm going to let that thing simmer in me and I'm going to let that thing build in me. And I want to make sure. You know, if it was just because the Pepins are good people and I thought, man, that'd be great. It could be good for them. It could be. I don't want to roll the dice on that. I know the weight that's carried being an elder in this house. Talk to Roger and Barb. Talk to Scott and Vanessa. It's a lot of weight. And you know what? In the kingdom, the higher you get in the kingdom, the less decisions you get to make. I'm just telling you, where Sandy and I live, we're cornered. We painted ourselves in a corner. And see, but that's how I want it. I don't want my life to be my own. I want to give my life to hear God's voice. And I'll tell you what. I'll dare anybody. I'll compete with anybody about hearing God's voice. That's how sure I am of it. But it also goes with me losing my life. I lose my life, I gain my receiver tunes into God. Because we've got nothing else. Do you guys understand that? I know the election's coming up, and I know it's pivotal. I'm going to vote on behalf of unborn babies. I know there's a lot of other things that's pivotal in this election. But I care about unborn babies a lot. And I'm not saying that from a political place, but I'm just telling you, I don't want to stand before God someday and him say, yeah, sure, you did all that stuff, but what about all those little babies? And you know, I guess it'd be a big deal if it was just a couple of them. It'd probably still be a big deal. It's not just a couple of them. It's thousands of those little buggers that aren't getting ice cream at Guts Church. See, this has gotten pretty dramatic, and I'm kind of on thin ice with what I should say and shouldn't say. But I want to convey how pivotal it is that we are great at hearing God's voice. That's all I care. You say, man, I'm going to start a new business. Great, I'm all in. Hey, I'm going to marry this woman. Great, I'm all in. Hey, I'm going to move into this house. Super, I'm all in. You know what I care about? You hear God's voice. That's it. Man, if you get tuned in to God's voice, really nothing else is going to matter. And you know, the devil's going to try to jack with you probably more than he ever has. I don't care about him. You know, I think it was Sunday when people said, yeah, but what about the sufferings of Job? I'm like, what about him? They said, what about Job? It's like, I'm not a disciple of Job. I'm a disciple of Jesus. How about we talk about what about Jesus, okay? You go, what about Jesus? I'm all in. You go, what about Job? Let me tell you, the thing that rings in my heart and God showed me about Job, everything that happened to Job, you know what he said? That which I have feared has come upon me. See, this message is supposed to be about fear. So I guess I'm tying it back in. You know, so often these services, God wants to go places for people. I don't want you leaving here thinking it's too hard to hear from God. The easiest thing, you are built to hear from God. Built to hear from God. Last year, I'm watching Gustavo Paez eat a massive, he cut his own piece of cake at my house. And everything you've ever heard about Colombians, let me tell you, whatever you've heard about them, they could eat some dadgum chocolate cake. And he's got this fork, and he's cutting pieces off that are as big as my fist and jamming them in his mouth and giving Rebecca Bowler a life-changing word. And he's playing like this Hispanic Mad Lib with a mouthful of chocolate cake, shoveling it in, and he's not swallowing any of it. He's just cramming it in his mouth, giving her a word. And he's not saying, he said, rah, rah, I get an R, rah, rah. And I'm watching him eat, and I'm like, Rebecca! And then he goes, boy, boy, boyer, boyer. I'm like, he missed it, boyer. Her name isn't Boyer? No, it's Bowler, and two L's turned into a Y, I guess, in Colombia. No, but do you think that he's cornered the market on hearing God's voice? No. And I talked about him being the cake because he's just a pretty average fella, just like all of us. But you know what? He's not listening to a bunch of other stuff. He's here. Man, he's tuned in that receiver. That tuner's, it's on point with God. So we're bringing him back in. September 13th, 14th, and 15th. And you'll say, well, what if he can't fly in? Then we'll bring him in October. And if he can't fly in October, we'll bring him in November. We'll just keep, I'm just telling you, at some point, we're going to have him back in here. Why? Because it blesses people. Why? Because he hears God's voice. Why? Because I want you to see that. I want to see it. Because let me tell you, ask me if I'm a skeptic. Yes. I am skeptic. So God's got to get through my thick skull sometimes. But I hear from God. I'm not going to cast away my confidence.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.